Amen. Amen. And good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Do you love God?
Yes.
Do you really love God?
Yes.
I really love. Sing it with me if you love Him.
Lord,
will I really love the
Lord.
And you don't know what He's done for me. Oh, yes, He gave me. Yes. And that's why I love, oh, I love Him. I really love good. He watches over me. And He watches over me. Oh, well, He watches over me. Me, oh yes, He gave. Is He watching over you? And that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what it's done for me. Oh yes, He gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, yes, I love Him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. We're so thankful that you've made the choice to be here with us this morning. You have many choices. You could have gone to any church. There are a number of churches in the city of Houston, and you chose to be with us. If someone invited you, we thank them. If you're just passing through the city, we are so thankful to have you with us this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Those that's watching by way of television, also thank you for tuning in with all the stations we have on today. And hopefully we can say something that will minister to you today. If you need to talk to someone, a live person, if you need someone to pray with you, then feel free to please call a number on your screen, and we would love to do that even today also. If you will, meet with me in the book of Titus, the New Testament, the book of Titus. Hopefully you are, so many of you have been reading. We have a reading program going on, reading through the Bible all this year, and I know a number of you have been on task. Also, this is the second month of the year. You know, all those resolutions and things that we said that we were going to do, don't fall off. Amen. This is the time that you give up on your diets and give up on some of the things, or we just get a little callous and lax, but we've only just begun. And stay encouraged. Don't let the devil stop you from doing what you've set your mind to do.
Amen,
amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 3. If you want to give this lesson a title, it's simply To the Church. To the Church. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them. Now, Titus, as some of you know, this is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus. And Titus was a fairly young preacher at this time. And Paul tells Titus to remind them. Now, Titus is the evangelist. And he says, remind them. Remind who? Well, go to Titus chapter 1. Stay at 3, but go to 1, verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete. Crete is an island. I believe I have a map of Crete, of its proximity. It's an island that many churches were established on this island. Paul went through Crete on his, I know, his third missionary journey. You see it in proximity. I have this circled. You can't see it that clearly. That's the island of Crete. And notice down to the bottom right, Jerusalem, the bottom right of the map, proximity. Jerusalem, those of you that study your Bible in Acts chapter 2, is where the church was established. And you see, now, but now Crete, there are Christians in Crete. I'll show you how they got there in just a second. And they are in Crete. Now this just for some of you. You know, we have a lot of folks who challenged about it. Now, Crete is still on the map today. It's still in existence. It has a long history of hostile takeovers of this particular island. But it's mentioned. I just mentioned it for some folks who's real smart. I mentioned it just to let you know that it's in the Bible. It was in the Bible a long time ago. And it's in existence. It's just a confirmation that the Bible's records are accurate, if you will. That's my lesson today. But Crete is here on this island. Now, go back to your Bibles. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Now, Paul's writing to Titus, and he tells Titus, listen, I'm leaving you here. And I want you to make sure you appoint elders. Now, there was more than one city on the island of Crete. Now if you want to know where the Christians, the church, how it got there, go to Acts chapter 2, verse 8. Acts 2, verse 8. Those of you that know that this is the first record we have of the church being established in the Bible on the day of Pentecost. The church is not an accident. No, it was in the mind of God even before he created the world. And it is historically, we can read about it, we can see. I know there are a bunch of churches all over the place, but what you need to do is take your church back to the Bible, the history of the Bible, and how it was started and how it was established and how it's organized. Amen, somebody. Notice this, Acts chapter 2, verse 8, and how is it that we each hear, this was on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the first sermon. We hear them in our own language to which we were born. And then it names all of the nationalities. And these were Jews from all these nations who came to Jerusalem, not because they knew the church was going to be established, but God knew it was going to be established. It was in his plan. They came to celebrate the Passover feast, the Jewish feast, and they were doing as they were normally would do yearly on the day of Pentecost. And it says the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and residents. Drop down to verse number 11, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own language speaking of the mighty deeds of God. This is Peter preaching the first gospel sermon. And all of these different nationalities hear the sermon. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. Now, there, scholars would say there were literally hundreds, maybe hundreds of thousands of Jews there in Jerusalem on that day. And some of you know your Bible. You know that scriptures say 3,000 were added to the church. On that day, 3,000, the church roll was 3,000 on that day. A lot were there, but everybody didn't obey the gospel. Most people didn't know. It's like today, somebody may have come in here, need you for a friend, or you visiting, or you passing through, and you said, I want to go to church today, and you just want to get your church on, if you will. And we preach the gospel every week, extend the invitation, and not every Sunday somebody answers the call. But there are many in here who are Christians already. And we do it even on television. And as people watch and we preach the gospel, understand this, saints, Christians, every time you teach somebody, everybody in your family won't obey the gospel of Christ. People that we want to, people that say, I know he got it. I know she heard it. Shouldn't she want to be a Christian? Everybody don't hear the same thing. Everybody didn't, for whatever reason. Some people they're connected politically. Some people have other things going on in their life that they just can't let go. Some people know it's the truth, but they just won't obey it. But the preacher, the evangelist, the teacher, his charge is to teach and preach the gospel. As on this particular day, Cretans were there. And obviously, we don't know, it doesn't say in particular, some of them obeyed the gospel. And then we get to, and now, oh my goodness, just don't have enough time. But now they stayed when they heard the gospel. They actually stayed in Jerusalem. They were so excited, and they lived together and ate together and fellowshiped together. But that's not what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to go take the gospel to all the world. That's what he told the apostles before he left. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But they stayed there in Jerusalem until Acts chapter 8, when persecution came on the church. Then they scattered abroad. Some of them went back home. Then we get to Titus chapter 3, chapter 1, and some of them went back home. But thank the Lord, they didn't just keep what they heard. They start telling their friend, listen, we've been baptized into the church. They start teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that came to the world. He died for our sin. You need to obey Christ. You need to repent of your sin. They told him just what Peter told him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sin, and God will add you to the church. Amen. Notice, if you haven't done that today, that's what you need to do. Amen. Now, you might not do it, but that's what you need to do according to the scriptures. Yes, and so Christians went to Crete. The churches, they went to different cities, and churches were established. And then Paul sent Titus to Crete. Notice this. What did he send him to Crete for? He says that something remains. He says, I want you to appoint elders in every city. Another teaching point, not my whole lesson teaching point. He says, I want you to appoint elders. Listen, I don't know where you attend church if you're not attending church here, but every church needs some elders. Amen. Where'd you get that from, Brother Gere? The Bible. Now notice this. Every church didn't have, the churches there didn't have elders, so the church can't exist for a time without elders. But any church that's going to be around for a while, they need to be training some men to be some elders. What are elders? The elders are the overseers, the bishops, the presbyters, same word. There needs to be some elders there. But I have never heard of elders. Well, you might need to check something, huh? So this is the early existence of the church. And so you Philippians chapter 1, you get the organization of the church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, that's the preacher, the evangelist, bond service of Christ to all the saints. That's us in Christ who are in Philippi, including the overseers, or the bishops, or the elders, and the deacons. So you have in the church, you want to know how the church ought to be organized, it ought to have an evangelist, it ought to have some elders, it ought to have some deacons, and some Christians. That's the government of the church. It doesn't have archbishops. It doesn't have cardinals. The church in the Bible doesn't have all of those. Just a teaching point. Just not knocking anybody, but just teaching what the Bible teaches. That's some people. I found out, as a preacher, I've decided that I'm going to teach what the Bible teaches. Some folk want what's in the Bible. And some people don't. Some people don't. But let's go back to Titus. I don't want to get off track. And notice this. Let me say this about elders also. In the Bible, every time you read about elders, it's plural. There's no one man. There's no one pastor, if you will. But Gary, aren't you the pastor? No, I'm not. I'm the evangelist. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, and he gave some as apostles. All the apostles are dead and gone. Prophets, they're gone. He gave evangelists, that's me, as I'm one of the evangelists at this church. Amen. Appointed by the elders of the church and this church. Brother Ray Wilkerson is one of the evangelists. He is the assistant evangelist here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Then it says pastors. Now, the evangelist could be a pastor, but I'm not one of the pastors. And pastors is plural. Notice this in Acts chapter 20, verse. Everybody's all right this morning. I'm not fussing. I'm just teaching this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Listen, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. This is Paul, and called the elders of the church. Don't you think it's smart to not have one man over the whole church? Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Yeah, you don't want Brother Gary to be the pastor of the church. I'm just saying, I think my heart is right. I don't think I would fleece the church. But there have been many pastors who live high on the hog off the church. Amen, somebody. That's another lesson also. And so just some teaching points. Some folks, I've discovered, especially young people, they have all kind of questions. They want, why is he over the church? Well, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And so if you're looking, if you're searching, it'd be good to search. Make sure you're looking for a church that resembles the biblical model that we have in the Lord's body. Now, we here at the Fairwater Church of Christ, we have 10 elders. 10 elders. Now, sometimes I believe you can have too many elders. I don't think we'd have enough elders. Amen, somebody. Let me say that. You saying that like, Brother Gary, like y'all don't get along. We get along fine. Amen. Amen. We get along very well. Now, we're not perfect. Amen. Yeah. We have 20 deacons, I believe, thereabouts, something like that. And we need more. It's not an exclusive club. How do you become an elder or deacon? You qualify according to the scriptures. Amen. Amen. That's another lesson also. Go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to finish in time. Oh, I love the word of God. Titus chapter 3, he says, remind them. So the them in this case are the Cretans. And Titus is an evangelist. And obviously Titus moved around on the island. And these churches, they didn't have elders in the churches. And he was teaching them all kinds of things, teaching the younger women to, the older women to teach the younger women, teaching the older men to be examples to the younger men and to be sober, be old. You don't have no old men acting like they 20 years old. You're trying to party and to older women teaching the younger women. That's a good model, don't you think? Yeah. Now, that don't mean just because you're old, you got sense. You know some old, I didn't say that. But I tell you what, there's something about getting older. There's some experience. See, there's some things even as a preacher. Now, I'm getting kind of older now. I'm kind of in the middle right now. But there are some things that you don't receive as well from me because I'm not as experienced in some areas as somebody who is. You receive, see, when you get something from a seasoned man who's been through much, and I'm not saying I'm really a young old preacher in the church. I say it because I've been a Christian for 42 years. And I have experienced them, but there's some things that season, some things that just an older person can give you from. See, I would want my wife, if we were having issues in our marriage, if I wouldn't want my wife, I wouldn't want her to talk. Well, I want her to talk to somebody who's been married a while. Amen. You know. And just, you know, and when she's talking to him, tell her, yeah, but I don't know what's wrong with Gary. He won't treat me right. And I don't know, I'm trying and I'm sick of him. He's just making me sick. And I don't know what to do about him. And he just, she was talking to one of them younger sisters. They said, yeah, girl, I know it. I thought it just acts silly. You just need a, girl, I tell you, this is what I do. What you need to do is you need to start putting some money back and getting ready to leave him when he. Hold up, sister. The old sister, older sister, you know, talk to some sense into my wife. You say, baby, what you doing to him? Come on, older sisters, help me out. Yeah, you been keeping yourself up, baby? Is he hungry? Or you been cooking? Or you giving him all that processed food? Oh, yeah, I know some of you says, I know who I'm sending her to. Yeah. Look, baby, he's tired. Baby, you got to, have you patted, rub him on the shoulder. Baby, let me tell you some, let me tell you what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm, yeah. That's off my lesson, But he in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, remind them. Now, notice this. To be subject to rulers, subject means to obey. That's what it means. And Paul, he writes to the church, writes to Titus, remind them. Subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. This is what Paul writing Titus. Now I take my charge as evangelist very seriously. I said, there's some some areas that I struggle with. I'm the preacher, and he's telling the preachers when do you tell this to the church? Well, he says, Titus, it's your job. You remind. Now you got to know a little history about Crete. I showed you the island a few minutes ago. Crete, you have Jews who were under Roman rule at the time. Now they're Jewish and they have but Rome at this time allowed them to have the freedom of their religion. But you got some Jews that shown up despised the Romans, the Greeks, if you will. And their idolatry, they are losing, but they are in charge, large and in charge. And they are ruling, and they have rules, and they have things that they are expecting the Jews to do. And Paul says, you remind these Jewish Christians, and they're fairly new, young new converts, you remind them to listen, to obey who's in charge. So I didn't know, I don't know another set, bro, Gary, you should teach this in Bible class. No, some of you don't come to Bible. I'm just saying. And so when is the preacher supposed to remind? I say, I'm just doing it right now. It's one of the things. This is not all of them. And I want to teach the whole counsel of God. And there's so many things that go on socially around in the world. Some of our young people need to hear this. Notice this. He says, remind them to be subject to obey the rule. Who are the rulers? The rulers are who God allowed to be in charge. Amen. Amen. See, notice it. No, notice this. Christianity is not militant. Christianity is not anti-government. Yes. I know so we shouldn't talk politics. Well, politics is part of our faith. We live in a world that has rulers and people that are in charge. No, who are the rulers? The rulers are the policemen. And women, amen. We have a number in our congregation. Yeah, the rulers are the judges, the sheriffs, the Texas Rangers, those who are in authority. When you go to place, the rulers are, and we are subject to, notice this, and young folk, rulers, those who are in authority, not just those who pack guns. When you go to your school, the principal is the ruler. The teachers are the rulers, the assistant principals, the security guards are the rulers. And Paul says, remind the Christian not to be militant, not to be hating on the Romans. And listen, remind them to listen to the rulers and authorities. You know, the last few weeks, we have had a lot of things that have gone on the last few months, and I didn't comment on them directly. You know, what happened in Ferguson, and some of the brothers said, Brother Gary, you need to talk to some of our young men. We need to talk to everybody. We need to learn how the church is to behave with authority. Now, I know there are a lot of things that can be said, but the scripture tells us what we ought to do. Well, people treat you wrong. We're not talking about people right now. We're talking about us. Amen. Amen. Now, if you are a teacher, if you are principal, if you're a past principal, if you are an officer, if any kind of officer, police officer, sergeant, lieutenant, if you are judge, if you are in a position of authority, and you don't mind, would you stand so we can see you just for a second? All of our teachers, our elementary, middle school principals, all of those, our policemen, those that work in security positions, I just want to see you for just a second. I tell you, we have some security in here, don't we? Yeah. They're in positions of authority. And I'm telling you, it's not easy being an authority, is it? I'm sure they could tell us some war stories of how folks have rebelled, folks have cut up, folks have done all kind of things, talked nasty to them, said different things and make their job even harder. Amen, somebody. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, my God. Bless you. We go praying for you and continue to pray for you. And Paul says, Titus, remind. He says, now, and I don't want to take this out of context, but he said, and be ready for every good deed. See, to the saints, he said, not only you obey, and say obey mean to do what they say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, when the police stop you. And I'm telling you, and some of this I guess you learn that at home too, don't you? I don't want to be biased, but my dad used to talk. There wasn't no talking back.
Amen.
I put it this way from me. You know, you always have somebody going to kind of challenge stuff. But my dad used to, he used to talk and wasn't no talk back. And I tell you what, my mother used to talk a whole lot and we listen. Amen, somebody. Listen, you know what? Listening, not saying anything, will keep you out a whole lot of trouble, won't it? And Paul said, and he's trying to help the church. Oh, but girl, you know, some people don't know how to talk to you. Well, let the Lord get them. Because you'll be in jail talking about, yeah, that man said something, and all you had to do was just be quiet. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
When the police stop you, young men, let me say this to the young men. I don't want to just pin just the young men, but young everybody. When the police stop you, have some sense. That's the police. He got a gun on his side, and do they still carry those tasers? And most of them have a billy club. And so when the police stop you, obey the police. Now, some of you that read the details of the Ferguson incidents, some of you know. See, some of you, all you know is what you saw in the news. Oh, some of you, all you know is, oh, they did him wrong. I'm not making any judgment, but I just challenge you to go read the account of what happened. Read the factual account of why this started. And that's why I'm talking to the Christians, to the saints, because the saints have no business challenging, rebelling against authority. That's your word. That's the Bible's words. Let me make it a little bit clear. Now, he wrote this to Titus. Let me drop. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. I know I'm not. I don't know if I'm gonna have time to finish this. Let me read his account to the Romans. Now, notice this. These are Greeks. Now, Titus, you had Jews and Greeks. This is a mixture of Greek, but this is also to those who are Roman Christians, Romans and Jews. He says everybody say every.
Yeah.
Every person is to be in subjection. The word subjection, no other, is not complicated. It's to obey, to be in subjection to the governing authorities. The governing authorities is anybody that you are under in charge. Your boss on your job is your authority. For there is no authority except from God. Did you not know that every police officer that is in wearing a badge, every judge, every person, they are there because God has allowed them to be there. Oh, no, brother, I know some crooks. God still has allowed them to be in charge. Let me finish that. I don't want you to get this confused. And those which exist are established by God. Well, in that case, brother, I don't even need to go vote for them. Now, you don't know who's in charge. You need to go use your right to go vote. But it is God who has the last say. You don't know. Don't you say that I don't need to go vote. I don't need to participate in the election process. Yes, you do. We as Christians need to. We need to identify those who we think of high moral character, because God has allowed those to get in office to punish us because we don't know how to act. Sometimes. Amen, somebody. I'll tell you, I'll give you a piece right now. There are at least 37, maybe 39 states, I believe, that have allowed the same-sex marriage law to be enforced. Is it 30? How many is it? Is it 30, 37, 39? Let me say this. Texas is one that has not allowed. I know there's some may be here today to say, well, I think that it should be allowed. Well, that's another lesson for another time. But one of the reasons why the law has passed in all of these states is because well-meaning, good, moral Christians won't exercise their right to vote. Amen. Amen. And so we can't sit on the sidelines and complain about everything if we're not willing to get in the process. But notice this, verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority, and it's talking to us, has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Now, that says a lot to us. See, what if somebody wrong? Be quiet. See, if the police officer is talking to me, one day my daughter called me, and she was she was messed up because the police stopped her and a friend. They were looking for housing in one of the neighborhoods, and they were looking, and she said the police just stopped them, asked them what they were doing in the neighborhood. She said, Daddy, I got so mad, and I said, sir, we just looking for housing. She said, I got so mad. I said, did you sound like you sounding right now? She said, I told him, we're graduates of Pepperdine University. I said, no, you didn't say that to him. And she said, I did that. She said, because we were not doing anything. I said, well, baby, you need to be calm. Why did you tell her that, Brother Gary? Because I didn't want her to go to jail. And also, see, listen, this is also... You don't understand what these officers just had gone through before they saw her. Right. See, you don't know why you don't know, because you're not God. They might have heard something on the radio. They might, and what all you're supposed to do is, here's my license. We're not doing anything. And yes, sir. And no, ma'am. And yes, sir. And some of you say, oh, no, I don't think, yeah, here, you can have it. And you define authority. Notice this. And when you do that, it says you will receive condemnation upon yourself, because you are defying not only the authority, you are defying God. For rulers, now verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. See, now listen, I know that there are some bad apples. We all know that. But if you are behaving well, who in the world is going to defy you? So don't listen now. But for evil, do you want to have no fear of authority? This is how you do it. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Amen. Amen, somebody. If you're in school, young man, young ladies, and the teacher is giving you instruction, and you don't like the way she looks because she looks funny, you do it anyway. Amen. Well, I just don't like the way she talk. What you mean the way she talk? She's teaching. He's teaching. He's in authority. Well, they don't teach it like my mother. That's not your mother. They are in charge. You do what you are supposed to do. And you'll find out that those some teachers are just hard like that. Amen. How many of you have had one of those hard, straight men just down the line? How many of you had a teacher like that? I have. And you know, and you find out later on, they don't mean no harm. They're just trying to keep order in the classroom. And like Sister Stephanie Law, she looks sweet, sweet as she could be, and she's kind, and she's nice. How long you been teaching, Sister Stephanie? About 20 years? 23? Doesn't she look sweet and kind? But you go in her class, I bet you won't be acting up. But I tell you what, all of those students, they love her to death. Now, you get in there and cut up, Sister Stephanie, know what to do to you. and do with you and do for you. Why? Because she is in authority. Teachers are in authority. Listen to this. For it is a minister of God to who? For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. In vain. Do you not know that God has authorized those who are in authority, who carry weapons? Amen? Amen. I know, Brother Pastor, you, Brother Lamont, you liking this lesson, aren't you? Because they are authorized by God to use that weapon to keep order. Notice, by God. Now, we don't want anybody to get trigger happy and anxious, but those who are in authority, God don't want them to feel guilty when they have to use that force for what God has put them there for. Yes, amen, somebody? Yes. Now, everybody can't be in authority, amen? Amen? Some folk don't have the temperament. Some folk don't have the courage. Oh, yes. But God knows the world that we live in. Notice this, and he says this. For it is the minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Five minutes. Let's see. Well, I need to share this, though. Why do we have to submit? I just don't like that submitting. Why? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. And Paul wrote it. Peter wrote it. And it's talking about our conduct. So that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And Peter said this. He says, listen, make sure that you are not the one to be to blame. Amen. Now, sometimes people will make up things and lie and say things, and we know that that happens in reality. But for us as the saints, don't let anybody's report be true. You know, sometimes you get on TV and they say, well, oh, yeah, they just shot him. And you find out the person been cursing for 20 minutes. Lying, had stole something and was running, and all you hear is they shot him. Let's not let that be us. Amen. Yeah, if they slander us, make sure you're doing the good. You're not doing what is evil, because some of those who are not believers, they're outsiders. They know those who have the fear of God in them. It's a Christ-like spirit. And notice this, because God is trying to save everybody, all kind of people. You wanted the distinction between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King? Malcolm X wanted equality through violence, any means necessary. Martin Luther King, nonviolence. Gandhi was through nonviolent acts. You can't have law by keep breaking the law. And Jesus was our ultimate example. As he was reviled, and he reviled not. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. I knew I wasn't going to have time to finish all of this. Everybody's all right? This goes to the old and the young. I know some of you say, bro, yeah, that's a good message for the young folk. It just surprised me how many older people who the most cantankerous. I was getting my tags for the vehicle in the wherever you go to get your tags, registration tag. I'm in the line, and lady behind the counter, and giving the tag, and the line was long, was moving slow, and had a security guard on the side, and this man, this older man, he's, y'all need to hurry up. And he said it kind of low first, and then he said it again. He said, it's about 4 or 5. Y'all show moving slow. You need to hurry up. And the officer said, hold it down. I'm old. Now, I'm going to tell you, he came about an inch from bringing condemnation on himself. Now, notice this. Should I say this? I know one of us Christians. I know that's not us. You see why he told, I know that's not. What would that do to your witness as a Christian? What would that do to your influence in leading somebody to Christ if somebody was in there and they saw one of our older brothers, older sisters acting like that, and you invited them, won't you come go to Bible class with them? Won't you hear about the love of Jesus Christ? You bring no glory to God when we act that way. Oh my goodness. Let me read verse 3. Notice this. And we all got to grow. Amen. Don't we all need to grow in the Lord? But Gary, you talking to me. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to myself. Because sometimes I get mad. Sometimes. There are some folks in charge of things don't need to be in charge. Some people teaching, they don't need to be teaching. Do it. I know none of our teachers, but some teachers, they're deficient, they're not prepared, but it's not your job as a student, while you are in their presence, it's not your job to defy the teacher. Verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves. Gladness. Some of us, we can testify right now. Some of us. And it just calls us what we were. You say it another way. We were also fools ourselves. Amen. Well, girl, you shouldn't call nobody. Did I call somebody a fool? Let me put it this way. I was also a fool. Amen. Now, you can say what you want to say. Yeah. And some of us need to be glad we're living right now. Because we were that big of a fool. Well, who's the fool? Disobedient. Notice what it says. You know what the Bible says? Children. No, notice it. Your parents are the authority. Bible says children obey. That's to be subject. Children obey. My wife used to quote that so much to our children when they were young. I said, baby, do you know any other scripture in the Bible? And she said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what's going to happen to y'all? Y'all going to have the Lord against you. And after a while, I would say, go ahead, preach it, babe. Tell them again. You don't understand. You don't know everything. You don't know all the answers. You don't know what your parents, you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know. And you're going to be a parent. You keep living one day. You will understand it better by and by. And disobedience will get you killed. There are so many of our young folks who don't grow old simply because they are disobedient. Deceived. You deceive, fool. Sometimes we let other people fool us, get us in trouble. Now see, look at this is what you need to do. Everybody, let's rebel. Don't you let nobody. Yeah, we're going to boycott. There is a way, there's a process to have your voice heard for Christians. Jesus obeyed the law. Jesus says, give Caesar what's due to Caesar. But he was a master teacher, and he did everything in humility. And Jesus made his points. Sometimes we think we're being belligerent and defiant. And when we do that, people think we're out of our mind. It's to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Oh, I wish I had time to cover all of this. Let me drop down. Let me finish it. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, no respect of person. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. See, in the church, now notice, Paul wrote this to Titus, who was the evangelist. He says, Titus, remind the church, as you are living your Christ-like, Christian life, you live in the world. You live in your everyday life. People, I want you to be the example, the light. We don't want anything to diminish your influence as you are dealing with people. And people's souls is what we are about. Souls, winning souls, saving souls, being an example for those who are already saved so they will stay saved. And I need you to keep your salt when you're in this world. And God wants everybody to be saved. In all nations, all kinds. And our testimony, you say what you will or may, most of our time is not spent in Bible class, even in worship service. And the best sermons that we give many times are the way we live our lives. Around people every day that they would inquire and want to know, what is it about that sister? What is it about that young lady? What is it about that young man? And then we have the opportunity to teach them. And so just reminding the church today that we have orders from God to be the light of this world wherever we go. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, see, these instructions, they come from God. And it's without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them, notice, that diligently seek him. And seeking Christ Jesus is seeking his word, seeking his truths for our lives. But he says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Notice, in spirit and in truth. And we get the truth from his word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're here today, thank the Lord that passage is in there that we were once foolish, because we can truly say that God is no respecter person. Matter of fact, I don't know where you've been, what you've been doing, where you come from, but that does not matter with God if you're willing to change. Amen, somebody. See, that's what we ought to say, praise the Lord, because God is so wonderful. He can take a fool and make him a Christian. Amen. Or her a Christian. And that's all by having a change of heart. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ and give him your allegiance, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes. You too can be added to the body of Christ, just like those Cretans were on the day of Pentecost and after that time. But after they were baptized, they had not reached perfection. Anybody in here perfect this morning? Anybody in here need to work on some things this morning? Oh, yes, we're in the right crowd. But we're trying to make heaven our home. And not only that, we're trying to win as many individuals to Christ as we possibly can. If you want to be added to the church as they were added to in the Bible, if you want to be added to the one church we can read about in the Bible, then you do just what they did, and God will add you to his body, to his church, and we'll be faithful unto death. According to Revelation 2, verse 10, we'll get a crown of life. And that is what all of us want. Is to be right with our Savior, right with God, and spend eternity with God forever and ever. You're here and you have something on your heart, something we need to pray for. If you're here and you need to get something right in your life, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour you washed in the blood of the Lamb.